and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. 'Twas the week before Christmas, and all through the land, people were beginning holiday travel in the face of stormy weather.
Already making its way into the northern plains, Minneapolis is nearly a foot below average for snow already this season. They're going to be getting 3 to 6 inches. A winter storm warning slides right into Green Bay, where you could also have issues. The north side of Chicago, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Watch that one as it expands and becomes snow for a lot of folks in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and then up into upstate New York.
ABC News meteorologist Ginger Z. Back to square one. After President-elect Trump said don't pass it, House Republicans scrapped the bipartisan short-term funding measure to keep the government running and started working on a new one. The government runs out of money late Friday night. A source close to Luigi Mangione says the accused assassin of the UnitedHealthcare chief exec is expected to waive extradition during a hearing on Thursday. This is ABC News. The Russians say they detained a 29-year-old citizen of Uzbekistan in Tuesday's assassination of a prominent general in Moscow, but there are questions.
There are some question marks, at least, about how rapidly this happened, the fact that he's an Uzbek citizen. The Kremlin certainly has record of blaming others for crimes perpetrated, and it certainly suits the purpose of the Kremlin. I think that this is appeared to have been solved quite so quickly.
ABC's Ian Pannell in London. The world's nuclear powers have been beefing up their arsenals in recent years. At the same time, private bunker sales are on the rise globally. Critics, though, warn they create a false perception that nuclear conflict is survivable. They argue those planning to live through an atomic blast are not focusing on the real and current dangers posed by nuclear threats and the need to stop the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks are headed east. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After winning the NBA Cup Tuesday night in Vegas, the Milwaukee Bucks will head to Ohio to play the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Tip-off time Friday night at 7:20. College football. The Wisconsin Badgers have picked up a wide receiver. Jaden Ballard, 6'3", 200 pounds, has 1 year left of eligibility. He's leaving the Ohio State Buckeyes for Wisconsin, where he feels he has a better opportunity in Madison. Former Badgers offensive coordinator Phil Longo has a new job, returning to Sam Houston University in Texas as the head football coach. He'd been their offensive coordinator there a few years ago. NFL, it's the Packers and the Saints on Monday Night Football. For the second time this season, rookie linebacker Edgerrin Cooper named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week for his performance against the Seahawks Sunday night.
Yeah, he did an outstanding job. And then, I mean, shoot, he was one of our defensive players of the game, and he was also one of our special teams players of the game. So, I mean, he had three tackles on kickoff.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're a fan of the shows Baby Reindeer or Stranger Things, you might be interested in a new show that is being developed at Netflix. The Duffer Brothers, who created Stranger Things, and Veronica Tofilska, who created Baby Reindeer, are teaming up for a new show called Something Very Bad Is Going to Happen. The episodic horror series will star Camilla Morone and Adam DeMarco. If you're looking for a can't-miss film to watch over the holidays, it's probably not Netflix's new Carry On. Having said that, it is available from the comfort of your chair and is nonstop. If you can look past some plot logic, you'll probably be entertained as there is good action and it does move along nicely. The film stars Taron Egerton as a TSA agent who is being controlled by a terrorist organization led by Jason Bateman, who gets to show his incredible range as an actor. The film Carry On got an 80% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but only 60% of audiences liked it. I am definitely in the 40%, but check it out for yourself. Good premise, not so great execution. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory tomorrow for some snow showers that start late tonight and continue through tomorrow night. Accumulations of 2 to 5 inches. Low tonight, upper teens. High tomorrow, near 30. Some blowing snow with a gusty breeze. Much colder temps for the rest of the week. Currently, it's 26.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll go in the pharmacy to talk health and wellness with Dr. Omar. Then we'll be joined by Sean Betterplace from the Main Street Alliance to talk about Badger Care expansion.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. And I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Yes, and it's always great for more information, and you can visit at littlemomentscount.org. And right now, we're here with two special guests to talk about why these little moments count so much with our next generations. And I want to welcome Sandy. And Sandy, you're from Lower Sioux, and you're in the Head Start and Dakota Language Immersion Program, and it's CWOO. I want to say a big ahu and a welcome.
Hi.
Good one. Sandy, I got a couple questions here for you, and I see we have Vanessa is on here too. I just didn't see that she was on there. Welcome, Vanessa. Good Thunder.
Hi.
Sorry, I didn't see your camera on, so I didn't see you were on. My bad, as the young ones say. Yeah. Hey, Vanessa, could you share your journey in becoming the director of Lower Sioux Early Head Start? And hey, what inspired your commitment to Dakota language immersion?
Oh, my goodness. Well, yes, absolutely. Well, it was 2017. I just remember I was in high school. Now I'll go way back in 2010, and the elders, they wanted to teach Dakota language in the high schools, so they didn't have the licensure to do it, so they weren't able to. So I always remember that moment. I was like, oh my goodness, let's get some language into our high school. So I went to school, I did the things, and I got the licensures, and I came back, and they told me, you know, hey, if you want everything in all of your dreams to happen where everybody's speaking Dakota, we think that your own school for the tribe makes the most sense. And so I did.
Hey.
We were going to open our own school. So we wrote a grant and we got it, and then we opened doors and August of 2018, because we believe that the language is a part of us, and without it, we're not whole. And so our language, it has our values a part of it. It has, it has our geometry, our geography, our astrology. It has everything entangled to it, our sense of belonging. And so the elders always, you're remembering, reclaiming, and reconnecting to who you are. And thus, you're healing, and you're getting back to that Dakota Wichoha. And that's why we opened.
Right on. Hey, Sandy, you grew up attending a Dakota language immersion school. How has that experience shaped your approach to teaching and your passion in Dakota way of life? Ho-wa.
Yeah, so my grandma, she used to work at a Dakota immersion school in Lake Andy, South Dakota. So I started attending when I was 2 years old, and up until I was 13, the experience was we would do mainly cultural activities, and we would learn the language while doing those cultural activities. So we'd be out harvesting, and they'd explain everything in the language, and then we'd go into classroom settings and we'd learn like your basic colors and shapes and numbers. And for me personally, I think that's shaped me to see how to teach the younger ones here now. Like, you can be in the classroom, but you obtain more language while doing just normal everyday things, but while speaking the language.
Yeah, that's so important, and for the young ones and for those neurons firing and learning English and Dakota. Both of you have emphasized the importance of revitalization, the Dakota language. What role do you believe early childhood education plays in this effort? And Vanessa, I'll go with you first.
I don't see her anymore.
Vanessa disappeared, so Sandy, you have to answer that. Oh, wow. Yeah. So what role do you believe early childhood education plays in this effort of revitalizing the language?
Well, personally, I have two children, and I've been working with them culturally and within the language, as well as learning myself. So I've noticed we switched out a lot of English words with the Dakota words, and it's fun to see how they only know those words in Dakota. Like, my son's first word was tapa, which means ball in Dakota. And we just speak it every day. And them at that young age, their brain really absorbs it. They're little sponges.
Great. And it looks like we have Vanessa back. And Vanessa, you know, what role do you believe that early childhood education plays in the effort of revitalization of the Dakota language?
Well, we really believe that early childhood is so important is because their brain sets, most of it's developed by the age of three, right? And so If we grow these children up, and even in the womb, there's research now that says that a baby can tell between two languages when they're in their mother. And I think that's just beautiful. And so that's why we chose early childhood, because we want to raise these children up with their first language as Dakota. And I think it's been just a really great journey. We've been really healing ourselves as the staff, I've noticed. And we always just say we're just a bunch of young people trying to heal our inner child by raising wonderful children who always know what love is and never have to go through life not knowing what their language is and not knowing their life ways with it. So that's why we really chose early childhood to start.
That's beautiful. And we talk about this a lot on Native Roots Radio, that your generation has really picked up the ball after a couple generations, including mine and one before, for boarding schools and all these colonization that I'm really, as a former high school teacher, I'm really proud of your generation and the other generations that are coming up, because you're really grabbing the ball, Sandy and Vanessa. And it's just exciting to hear your excitement, but also what you're doing for your community and our community.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you. It's because of your generations that we're here. My dad always told me about the American Indian Religious Freedom Act in 1978. I wasn't on this earth yet. And he just said, Vanessa, it was just a piece of paper. They signed it, and it took a lot longer for our lifeways to come back after it was deemed legal again. And so I always say by the time I was gracing this earth by 1994, they already brought back the Wiwongwachi, the Sundance, and they already brought back the Nipi, the Sweat Lodge. So I never had to go through life not knowing what those two ceremonies were. And for me, I feel like it's our task now to raise our children not knowing, so that they never have to know what it's like not to speak Dakota. So it's really because of all of our ancestors who have fought so hard for us to get here while we're here. And I say we as if me and Sandy are from the same generation, but she keeps reminding me that I am a millennial and she's a Gen Zer. So heals me. And the Gen Z age, they are so healing. They really teach me about mental health and taking care of yourself. And so hats off to Sandy.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to come right back after this short break. Ho-wah!
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
A home that needs new everything. Plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Getting bus and train information in your language just got easier. Customers who call Metro Transit at 612-373-3333, again 612-373-3333, are able to select language options at the start of the call. To access information in Spanish, select option 2. For more information about other transit information tools, visit metrotransit.org/Spanish. That's metrotransit.org/Spanish.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hicha, wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This segment of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. Nearly 80% of brain growth happens in the first 1,000 days, and small moments of interaction, like talking, playing, reading, and singing, help create the pathways that build a child's brain during this early stage of life.
Hey, we're here with Vanessa Good Thunder and Sandy Jackson from the Lower Sioux Early Head Start and Head Start Dakota Language Immersion Program, CWOO. And I'm wondering if you, Dakota speaker, somebody could tell me how to pronounce your, help me.
Oh, no problem.
Help this whole take
it away,
out.
Sandy.
Chan Shayapu Akayanja Owayawa OT.
Wow. That's beautiful. Hey, I got a quick question and welcome back, you guys. What message would you like to share with parents in their families about the importance of Dakota language and education in their lives? And I'll go with you, Sandy, first, because you're a Gen Zer. Oh, wow.
I just want to share that it's very important that you learn your language and your ways, because it does heal your mind, spirit, your body. It does a lot of great things, not only for you, but for those around you. I noticed just working here how much the language brings us all together. We're not all from the same family, but we speak and act like we are, and it's just really beautiful to see every day.
Yeah, it does. And Vanessa, I'd like you to chime in too, just on a message of supporting this with the Dakota language and their children's lives.
Yeah. When you speak Dakota, you're feeling and you're seeing who you are again, and you're getting to learn yourself over. And it's just so beautiful, and it's so beautiful to see these children be so proud of who they are. And it's so scary. I think the biggest hurdle we have as adults is ourselves and our worry and our scaredness. But, like, you know, those little ones, when they fall, when they're learning how to walk, we never go, oh my goodness, they're never going to get it. But we do that to ourselves as adults. And so I always just encourage people to keep trying, keep learning, speak one word at a time, and then sentences will grow. We thought we were going to be completely immersion in 5 years. And that was crazy of us. We're so funny. We know better now. It takes about 2,000 hours for someone to get intermediate mid fluency. And at the rate we were going, it was going to take 56 years. And so we had to do something drastic. And so for the parents, it might be something drastic, but you can start off small and then you can get there. So that's what I have to say, Pidamaya, for even trying and listening.
That's awesome. And Vanessa, in your role, do you foster connections among students, families, and the community? Is that what you do?
Yes. So my role now is a Dakota Iapi Wonspe Wichake Atancha. So I oversee our language department. In 2018, when we opened, we had a department of one person, because we were like, we're all going to be a part of language. It's all of our job, which it is. But you do need people directly working on the maintenance of the language, the preservation, and the revitalization portions of it. So who's recording all of our speakers? Who's making all the materials? Who's actively growing the teachers? And so now we have a department of seven, and it's been the biggest our tribe has ever had, and we're so happy. So that's what I'm overseeing now, and I'm helping expand. So it's been about, we're in our seventh year of the school, and the tribe has voted to expand the school to ages K through fourth grade. So we'll be opening a new school, birth to fourth grade, in 2030.
Wow, that's exciting. Sandy, what challenges have you faced in your journey to become a Dakota language teacher? And how do you encourage others to overcome, you know, similar hurdles?
So like Vanessa mentioned, the scaredness and the worries, and that's my biggest challenge is I have a fear of speaking and because I'm worried I might get it wrong. But what helped me through it the most was I work along with Vanessa, and she'll speak to me in the language all day, every day. And I have a really good ear for listening and understanding, and I can translate it, but I'm scared to speak it. So that's what I'm trying to get over right now, and I'm getting a lot better because Vanessa sticks with it and she speaks to me daily. You know, she basically quizzes me every day on what I know and what I can speak.
She's kind of getting back at you for being a Gen Zer. Ho-wa.
She is.
Right, Vanessa?
Oh, my gosh. A lot of reflection is going on in my head right now. Am I doing that? No, I'm just kidding.
No. I'm kidding. We have jokes here.
Her ear is so good, Sandy's is. And so when I'm speaking, it's so funny because her voice is so small, not small, but silent. And so when we're in class, she'll know the answer. She'll just keep whispering it. But she does know it, and she just grows with it. So our hope is to bring that out with her. And she's doing great. Everybody's doing great. The apprentices are doing wonderful. We're just a little family trying to speak Dakota.
That's awesome. That really is. And can you both discuss the importance of the cultural context? And I think we touched a little bit on it in teaching Dakota language, you know, and how do you incorporate the Dakota history and the values into your curriculum? And I think I'll go with you first, Vanessa.
Yeah. So we make sure that everything we do is Dakota. And recently we partnered with the University of Hawaii Hilo and the University of Minnesota Twin Cities to do that. We looked at our relatives in Hawaii. We looked at our relatives in Jemez, New Mexico. And then we looked to our relatives in the Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma. So we visited all three of them this year, and we learned a lot because they're ahead of us in the revitalization efforts. And every time we visit them, we get a little stronger. And so, for instance, every morning we do a morning protocol where all of the students, all 60 of them in the center, come all in one space. And then we start with our prayer songs, our morning song, and then we do a prayer song or a thank you song or encouragement song. And then we begin the day with prayer. And that's how we start our day every single day. And you can tell that these bebenas, these wakainjas, the sacred being children, they're hearing it. As soon as that song starts, they get really quiet and they have that nice silence because they're listening. And then now they're learning the song and they're singing it. So you have these little two-year-olds singing, one-year-old singing. I mean, it's just beautiful. So that's a little bit of what we do. Yeah.
Wow, that is great. That's amazing. What initiatives are you currently in place at your school to increase Dakota fluency? I think we talked about that among young learners. I mean, you're speaking it as much as you can, starting out with a Dakota language prayer, Sandy. That's beautiful. And how else are you doing this?
Well, so currently with my position, we opened up an apprenticeship with our in-house teachers. We currently have 6 apprentices and then 3 advanced learners who work with master speakers, Harold Blacksmith and Glenn Washichina. They also attend classes at the University of Mankato with Glenn Washichina. And then one of the advanced speakers attends the University of Minnesota Twin Cities, and they just work every day with learning the language, and what they learn in those classes, they take back into their classrooms with the children. And it's just amazing to see how far everyone has come since we started this apprenticeship. Currently, it's only in-house teachers, but we are furthering it out to anyone who knows the language and needs the credentials. And it's just amazing to see how much everyone has grown to love and learn the language.
Well, this has been really eye-opening and really good information for everybody to listen to. I really like how you talked about the other tribes are ahead of us and ahead of you guys, and be able to go and visit Vanessa Goodthunder and Sandy Jackson from the Lower Sioux Early Head Start and Head Start Dakota Language Immersion Program. I want to just say a big peeny geegee for coming on and speaking your truth and talking about all the great things that you guys are doing. Keep up the great work, you young ones. Right on. Hey, we'll be right back. We'll be back, heading back to our Ho-Chunk show here. Ho-wa, just a minute, with Arvina Martin from Madison, Wisconsin, and a Ho-Chunk all-around groovy person. So, hey, we'll be back. This is Native Roots Radio.
News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. 'Twas the week before Christmas, and all through the land, people were beginning holiday travel in the face of stormy weather.
Already making its way into the northern plains, Minneapolis is nearly a foot below average for snow already this season. They're going to be getting 3 to 6 inches. A winter storm warning slides right into Green Bay, where you could also have issues. The north side of Chicago, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Watch that one as it expands and becomes snow for a lot of folks in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and then up into upstate New York.
ABC News meteorologist Ginger Z. Back to square one. After President-elect Trump said don't pass it, House Republicans scrapped the bipartisan short-term funding measure to keep the government running and started working on a new one. The government runs out of money late Friday night. A source close to Luigi Mangione says the accused assassin of the UnitedHealthcare chief exec is expected to waive extradition during a hearing on Thursday. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks are headed east. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After winning the NBA Cup Tuesday night in Vegas, the Milwaukee Bucks will head to Ohio to play the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Tip-off time Friday night at 7:20. College football. The Wisconsin Badgers have picked up a wide receiver. Jaden Ballard, 6'3", 200 pounds, has 1 year left of eligibility. He's leaving the Ohio State Buckeyes for Wisconsin, where he feels he has a better opportunity in Madison. Former Badgers offensive coordinator Phil Longo has a new job, returning to Sam Houston University in Texas as the head football coach. He'd been their offensive coordinator there a few years ago. NFL, it's the Packers and the Saints on Monday Night Football. For the second time this season, rookie linebacker Edgerrin Cooper named the NFC Defensive Player of the Week for his performance against the Seahawks Sunday night.
Yeah, he did an outstanding job. And then, I mean, shoot, he was one of our defensive players of the game, and he was also one of our special teams players of the game. So, I mean, he had three tackles on kickoff.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of Peaky Blinders, who are anxiously awaiting the feature film, will be happy to know that principal photography is done. The film is called The Immortal Man, and Cillian Murphy is back in the lead role as Tommy Shelby. Peaky Blinders is the story of post-World War I gangsters in Birmingham. The show ran for 6 seasons between 2013 and 2022 on the BBC and Netflix. Fans of the 28 Days franchise will be happy to know that 28 Days Later will finally be available to stream. The film has been curiously absent from streaming platforms, which is not good for people who want to catch up before the release of 28 Years Later. The second installment, 28 Weeks Later, is available to stream, but Danny Boyle's first film of the franchise has been offline since early 2024 after being purchased by Sony. The film is now available to stream as of December 18th. 28 Years Later is set to hit theaters in June of 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory tomorrow for some snow showers that start late tonight and continue through tomorrow night. Accumulations of 2 to 5 inches. Low tonight, upper teens. High tomorrow near 30. Some blowing snow with a gusty breeze. Much colder temps for the rest of the week. Currently it's 26.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge, there's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Do you sometimes feel lonely around the holidays? We talk about how to combat that loneliness, as well as the New York City Unsent Letters Project. Next.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Connor Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with our friend Urbina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and always great to have you on and talk about what's going on in Wisconsin and nationally. And one thing before we get going, we'll start out in a little downer here, is that, you know, the school shooting in this week in Madison, we've already put tobacco out and said prayers. Hard to see this, and hard to see a young person kind of going to the right wing. I think she was following some bad websites and things, and became one of those Nazi shooters, and it's really sad to see.
Oh my goodness, I had not heard that. I know that the Madison Police Department, the mayor's office, the Dane County Executive's office have all been working really hard on this this case, this really tragic situation, and not, sadly, not uncommon. I heard about this and was trying to figure out from, you know, making sure everybody that I knew that was in the area was safe, in fact. Mm-hmm. You know, you think it's never going to happen by you. And for me and everybody that lives here, you know that this is never going to happen anywhere by here or by me, had that shattered. You know, the Abundant Life Christian School is one that I really don't know that much about. I know they're very small, but I also know that they're a really tight-knit community. And the city of Madison, Dane County, folks across Wisconsin are, you know, trying to make sure that families have what they need in order. I mean, for some families, they'll never get back what they need, sadly. But, you know, I think we're here in Madison, and there's so many people that want to help, and you don't know what to do, and there's not things that are accessible. You know, if folks want to help out the families, I know that they can go to the United Way. I have promptly forgot what the code word was to text, but I'm sure if you go to the United Way and look up, the shooting in Madison, that you will find the right place to give. So, you know, we are praying, and you know, we're also demanding action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that sensible gun control is popular with the majority of people here in Wisconsin, and with the majority of people in America.
Yep.
You know, when folks talk about the Second Amendment, they always forget to mention the well-regulated part
right.
of the Second Amendment. So, you know, continue to put pressure on your elected officials at the state and federal level. You know, ask them to support sensible gun control. You know, that's kind of what we've got to do right now. We can pray as hard as we want, and that helps a bit, but we need to make changes so we don't have more people to pray for.
Yeah, really good call. And we always have to remember that the Second Amendment was written when it took 10 minutes to load a gun with one bullet in the musket. So,
true.
You know, that there's so much gray. But like you said, most of the country is for smart gun control. You know, that's not taking it away, that's not going hunting, you know, and all these things that we can do. And yeah, so our prayers are out, and I love, like, I talk about this a lot, and I really do mean this. I love the city of Madison and the surrounding suburbs, and it's just always a good vibe, and this is really sad for the community.
Yeah, we are really trying to kind of reestablish what we think of as safety, you know, and really are, I mean, that this happened so close to the holidays is like even more devastating. You know, I've seen a remarkable amount of community supporting this smaller section of our community. And it reminds me of the good things that people are doing and that people do fundamentally care. Which is a nice reminder when you work in the political world sometimes.
Yeah, no, so. I agree 100%, I agree. And crossing the political lines, is really, you know, a good thing. We've talked a little bit about this, that, Wisconsin made a lot of good gains, after the maps were redistricted by the governor. And I wonder if we can talk a little bit about that and switch it around pretty positive, because I feel like Wisconsin's going in a good direction. And we talk about our relative, Trisha Zunker, who ran so much twice and became so close, but it was so gerrymandered. I mean, I wish that Trisha would run again now that the lines are getting a little more equal.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what will happen. And these new maps, I mean, have changed the political landscape here in Wisconsin already. You know, the Democrats, we picked up 13 seats in the state assembly. The state assembly here in Wisconsin is 99 members. So we picked up, I mean, a good 10% of the, members. So that's a gain. And we picked up seats in the Senate too. I'm blanking on how many, but the way our elections are for our state Senate, our senator's terms is 4 years long, and they alternate every even year. So every even year, there are senators that are up for office, and it's like half of them. So we'll say the odd senators are up in, you know, presidential years, and the even senators are up in gubernatorial years. That was a big mumble jumble. I'm sorry. There's probably a much easier way to describe that.
It made sense to me.
Hey, I think the Senate picked up 6 seats is what I heard.
Six. That sounds
Does
about
that
right.
Sound right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the thing is that the majority of the seats that were up this year happened to be Republican seats. I mean, happened to be Democratic seats. So we were able to hold on and pick up some as well. Mm-hmm. Next year, the majority of seats that are going to be up are ones that are held by Republicans. So there is going to be a very, very big possibility, a real possibility of us being able to pick up a majority in the Senate, as well as possibly in the state assembly. And that would happen, you know, within 2 years of redistricting. You know, it's the change is marked, you may say. So we're excited about those gains. We sent Tammy back. You know, she is a champion and a fighter. And I'm so glad that she is our state senator and not some guy from Orange County, California.
Exactly. Well, do we have the governor coming up soon in the next 2 years or a year? Governor
Evers? 2 years.
Okay, yeah. 2 years.
Yeah, wow. So in Wisconsin, the governor's race and the presidential race are opposite each other. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm excited because there's always a flip in the seats when there's a new president. So every 2 years nationally, And I always like to bring this up too, and I know we have a lot of work ahead of us, but you know, when Bush was reelected, it was a real bummer. And he had the Senate and the House, and then 2 years later there was a landslide of the Democrats taking the House and Senate, and then 2 years after that we got Obama. So I'm keeping my tobacco pouch close to me and putting tobacco out and hoping the pendulum swings back in a good way.
Yeah, well, and that is, I think, almost universally the case, is that, you know, the first election, they call them the midterm. So like in the middle of the presidential term. So those midterms almost always control of at least one legislative body will flip to the opposition party. Yeah. And so, you know, we worried about this last time. And he had all three, you know, like he has now. He's got the House and the Senate. So, mm-hmm. you know, in theory, they can just push along a whole bunch of stuff. But last time they were very unorganized and fighting with it within themselves, their own in-group, and got very little done. Thank goodness. So fingers crossed.
Well, and if there's any kind of inkling of how it's going to go now with his the people that he's putting it up for, these different cabinet positions, we may have a repeat of that, fingers crossed.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think I heard that Pete Hegseth has stepped in it again, or something came up. And I can't remember if it was misogynist or if it was racist or homophobic.
Or drinking.
Or if he was drinking. Yeah. Yeah. So he seems like a barrel of fun.
He's from Minnesota. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
It's crazy. And I saw when they had shots when he was running around up and down the on TV, you know, talking to the senators and whatnot. A former mayor of St. Paul and senator, and he didn't win governor. Jesse Ventura beat him as governor.
Jesse DeMine Ventura?
Yeah. Yeah. He was our governor for 4 years. We can talk about that. One thing I wanted to say positive about Jesse is he's always low-key and he's always supporting Native Americans. I see him at all the marches and so I got to say that good about him. And also, he was a great wrestler. Oh, other than that, we won't get into the way he governed, but that's something else. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're just chewing the fat, I guess, and talking about some things and getting revved up for the next year in politics. And we'll be right back with her and Haley Cherry. This is Native Roots Radio.
Getting bus and train information in your language just got easier. Customers who call Metro Transit at 612-373-3333, again 612-373-3333, are able to select language options at the start of the call. To access information in Spanish, select option 2. For more information about other transit information tools, visit metrotransit.org/Spanish. That's metrotransit.org/Spanish.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. The time is now. Contact your legislator and tell them to pass paid family and medical leave for Minnesota. Learn more at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org. Paid for by the Minnesota AFL-CIO.
It's okay to talk about mental health. It's okay to struggle. and it's okay to ask for help. It's important that we support one another and work together to end the stigma so that we can start to tell a different story about mental health and well-being in our community. If you're looking for support for yourself or want to find resources for a loved one, visit makeitokay.org to get started. That's makeitokay.org.
Anine, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
I heard you, Arvina. Hey, where's
I Arvina? Always forget, so I remembered today.
right on. Appreciate it. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin. And I don't know if you know this about Native Roots Radio. We started 8 years ago. And the reason why we started it at first is that it was going on during Standing Rock. And all the misinformation or half stories were happening. And so we started the show. And again, how much things have changed in 8 years is not very much. We have a Line 6 spill here in Wisconsin. And, you know, here we are. I'm going to have to, in a few months, I won't be legislator, and I'll have to put on my protest American Indian Movement jean jacket on and start protesting again.
Don't forget your bandana.
Yeah.
Maybe some sunglasses.
Yeah,
make sure they're aviators.
Beaded too. I could bead them for you.
Right on. Hey, right on. Haley's gonna bead my sunglasses. Oh wow. Yeah, but how can we still be doing the 70,000 gallons of that nasty?
Even more, so Haley sent me the press release and I had not heard about it either. It said that they first estimated that it was 2 gallons, that Enbridge estimated that they had spilled 2 gallons of crude oil. And it went up several times up to 69,300 gallons, of crude oil. So
it's over 100,000 in real life. If they're saying those numbers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that, like, I don't know if that is a factor of they didn't stop the leak or couldn't stop the leak, and it started with 2 gallons and it just kept going, or it, like, I don't know. It would be nice to know more information about, you know, what that, or why it changed so much, I guess, because I mean, perhaps it was something that they couldn't fix within however many days or, you know, a month that they had. And I think, I mean, like, if that's the case, then, like, if it takes several weeks to clean, to close a hole in a spill that leaked originally 2 gallons, like, what happens when a hole that, or some kind of damage happens and it's bigger? It's terrifying.
It is terrifying. Haley, that was in Ho-Chunk land too, wasn't it?
I think it was Oakland, Wisconsin. But when I looked at the traditional territorial maps, it was Ho-Chunk ancestral land.
Yeah,
that
great.
Area.
Yeah.
I know. And it's kind of like weird how you said, Arvina, too, that you're just hearing about this is because I found out about it over this weekend when a bunch of media people started doing stories on it. And they actually said that this was happening. They found out about the leak back in November. And they're just releasing it to the media and the public now. So we're talking about Enbridge, and this mm-hmm. is the Canadian company that does Dakota Access, Line 3, Line 5 up in Bad River.
Yeah, I was going to say they want to put another or expand what they have in Wisconsin. I still believe, you know, I still believe that our water is especially our responsibility of you know, as neighbors to the Great Lakes, that we need to protect that water. We're going to need it. A lot of people want it. Right. And we shouldn't be jeopardizing such a, I mean, sometimes I think I'm like, do people forget that we need water to live? Do they need water as life is just a platitude? I mean, we won't survive without it. And it's every pipeline fails. It just, it's just how it works, you know, and we're putting a resource that we desperately need in great jeopardy.
Yeah. It's maddening and, but also not surprising, and also not surprising that this was withheld for so long too, Haley. That doesn't surprise me at all, but it still makes me angry. And it's good that we're talking about it, especially if a lot of our neighbors in Wisconsin, which we're on a lot of stations in Wisconsin, don't know about it either.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm someone who can, like, I tune into the news regularly, you know, whether it is TV news, online news, apps, like national, local, all of it. Like, I pay attention to stuff. And sometimes it's disconcerting to me to find out things that I feel like I should have known somehow because I pay attention. So people that aren't able to pay attention the same way that I am, because it's part of my job and my career that I need to. Other people have other things that they need to concentrate on in order to get through their day, in order to, you know, make ends meet. And how are they supposed to hear about something like this? You know, it's scary. I mean, that makes it kind of scary too.
Right. And then, you know, my sister-in-law lives in Long Island, and we have a place out in Long Beach. And what's scary is she saw all these drones, like 30 drones, and those drones are like as big as cars. And they're not little teeny drones that are flying around. And that's concerning, too. You know, there's got to be ways to block the signal from the controls of the drone, but there's a lot of frightening things going on here that we have to talk about and make it less frightening, and just let our listeners know what's going on. And
I mean, as far as the drone stuff goes, I need to do a lot more research because I know very little about drones, except that it seems like that most people that I know that use them are teenage boys.
I have two of them, but I kind of fit that now that you mention it.
No offense to any drone owners nor to teenage boys.
Yeah. And that's something out there too that's scary, you know, and that we have to talk about. And we only have a few minutes left here too. And Arvine, I want to switch gears, talk a little bit about Merge Wisconsin right now.
Yeah.
And what's happening there, and give a plug on on your work.
Yeah. So we were very excited to have our graduation for the class of 2024 last week. It was a lovely event and a nice intimate event. And it was really nice to kind of reunite with the folks of this cohort. If you don't know, Emerge Wisconsin is an organization that trains Democratic women and non-binary folks who feel comfortable in female-centered spaces on how to run for office and how to, be a candidate. We run a 6-month training, and we will teach you everything from how to knock a door, how to make your elevator speech, how to fundraise, how to, you know, the things that you need to do to just get your name on the ballot. We go over it all, and I'm really excited. We are in the process of selecting.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Kevin Solomon from Common Ground will be joining us to talk about what is going on with the Milwaukee Housing Authority. Brittany Merlot with Weather and Wine. Sports with J.R. Radcliffe. Join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Money to become less expensive. The Federal Reserve, nation's central bank, shaved its benchmark interest rate by a quarter point.
Notably, it does now expect fewer rate cuts next year. The Fed's projections now looking toward closer to 2 interest rate cuts. The last time it gave those forecasts, it had thought it would do 4. So what that's saying is that there is a little bit more uncertainty in the economy about what the path for borrowing costs looks like.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze. The Teamsters Union said it's launching the largest ever strike against Amazon. Picket lines going up at hundreds of Amazon warehouses nationwide. The Teamsters accuses Amazon of refusing to negotiate with its members. The strike to begin before sunup on Thursday. President-elect Trump said don't pass it, and House Republicans scrapped a bipartisan spending bill to keep the government running past Friday night. This is ABC News.